we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud.
Yeah.
This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots. Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm sitting down with the entire Reopen Bucks admin team. That's myself, Josh Hogan, Kiri Hogan, Randy Tung, Melissa Simmons, and Tina Raymond. Today, you're going to hear from us about the admin experience. Thanks, guys, for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
So, Kiri, I want to start with you. Let's go ahead and just give a quick high-level overview of why did you start this group?
Okay, I'll try to give you the Cliff's Notes on that. So I had joined the Reopen PA group. It was another Facebook group in April of 2020. And after being there in that group for a little while, I was thinking that something that was more localized would be more effective. I thought that there were challenges that Reopen PA had trying to get people out to their events that were seemed to always be in Harrisburg. It's pretty far for a lot of people. So I just thought something more local might be more effective. I didn't really have any background knowledge on county politics or even county governance, really. I knew that we had county commissioners, but that was about it. And it was sort of just luck that I happened to just pick out of thin air, oh, it should be a countywide group. Let's make it Reopen Bucks County. So I actually started it myself, just thinking it would be interesting and probably pretty effective if we could make it work. I didn't really have a clear vision of where it would go. I certainly thought it would be much shorter lived than it's been. And I didn't even consult you when I started it.
Josh, well, I had no social media, like nothing at the time.
Right. So I had begun the group, clicked create group, and within a day, I think I asked you, will you please make a Facebook account and come help me because all these people are showing up and they want to get in the group. I believe at the time, Facebook was treating it just like a local community group and was recommending it in people's feeds because suddenly people were finding it, and I don't know how they would have looked for it if it weren't, you know, being suggested to them. So within a few days, we had hundreds of people, so.
And the rest is history, as they say, right?
Right.
and right out of the gate there, I mean, I'm pretty sure all of you guys were pretty early joins, right? You were there at kind of phase one of the group early on.
Yes, absolutely.
First
early
month.
May.
Yeah, first month. What was it like during those first phases, you know, prior to being on the team? Maybe we'll start with Tina.
Well, it was great being a sideline person because then you can pick and choose what you want to do. But I really appreciated all of the things that were going on. My time was limited with what I do with my job, so it made it, you know, hard for me to roll up my sleeves on some things. But when something really hit home, like for me, it was the Easter egg hunt for the kids. Like I really, really, really wanted something normal for the kids. And so I was able to make that work with my schedule and I was able to get my grandkids to come. So for me, that's watching from a participant in the group versus an admin is a very different view.
Yeah.
Very different.
You realize how much it takes behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. I mean, I figured there was a lot of work. I knew that. Like I've done over the years in my different jobs and volunteering, I've done a lot of planning of big group events. So I knew there was a lot more to it, but there was even way more than I could possibly have imagined.
Right.
And I love that you mentioned the volunteering for Easter too. That's a good classic example of the type of like just community event thing that the group put on where you really get to see how many people want to chip in and help. I mean, you put the whole thing together, so you know better than I do, Kiri, but
yeah.
There were a lot of volunteers, a lot of people helping, and
yeah,
we had hundreds of kids and families show up, I think it was.
I think I had between 15 and 20 people who volunteered for the day of, you know, to help make it all happen that day. And I think that's when I met you mm-hmm. in person for the first time. And I had seen you for a long time in the group and so knew your name when you had volunteered. And then when we were together that day, our kids loved you. And I was like, I love Tina. She's so cool. We need to ask her to be an admin.
Ella was my helper.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it has gone, like in different ways. There's just been something along the way where we had in the back of our mind, like, oh, that member is... they're a really great member. They bring a lot to the table. They have an interesting perspective. They seem really engaged and like they have good content, good things to say. And then when a member has gotten on our radar, you know, we notice them for a while. Once we feel like there's a need on the team, that's mm-hmm. who we think of first typically. So.
And that's a good segue over to Melissa. So you were already on the team at that point. That we brought Tina on and did the Easter, all of that stuff. In fact, you're like the longest tenured admin. We counted the days a while back, and I can't remember exactly where we're at, but you've had something around like 450 days at this point now of right. time on the... That is a lot of time in this job, I gotta say.
It has been a lot we're
not,
of time, yes.
You're not getting paid. That's a lot. So yeah, it might be hard to remember, you know, what was before this because there's been so much more time that you've been on the admin team, but... What do you remember from your pre-admin time?
I remember just thinking what a great group of people it was. I was very thankful to find the group early May of 2020 because I was feeling I was the only one that I knew outside the family that was tired of everything being shut down and the masks and, you know, businesses being closed. I remember the first 4th of July picnic. That was fun, meeting some new people in person. But I remember when you guys did the playground brigade and I thought that is just awesome, you know, to be able to reopen the playgrounds for the kids. And then the Halloween party that you did, Halloween parade and party for the trunk or treat, I guess it was, for the first Halloween.
So that was when I first realized that you are so funny. Was that Halloween? because I think the way, like, your timing didn't work that day. We didn't get to actually see each other that day.
Right.
But you had, like, this whole joke costume planned out. And I was just like, she's so funny. I love her. She's right. sarcastic as heck. And
yeah, I didn't like make it. I didn't make it that day because President Trump was in town that day.
Was crazy
so I had gone
day.
To, you know,
there was, the car procession.
Right, exactly.
And stuff,
so I had gone to that. So I didn't make it over to.
And then
the
you went to that bakery that was doing the
poll. Oh, right. Yes, yes. Oh, and I got you guys some of the cookies, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I met Josh to deliver them. Yeah. And yes, that was crazy. But then the Christmas party, I helped at the Christmas party. Yeah. And it was just so nice to see. And that was, December 2020. Yeah. It was just nice to see the kids have a normal experience with Santa. Not behind plexiglass, not 6 feet apart. No masks, just be little kids the way that it should be.
And then what
that
with
was a big thing.
The Christmas time, holiday time, shutdown of restaurants, gyms.
Yeah.
I still can't believe that actually happened to people, but it was how many, 3 weeks, 2 weeks shutdowns of those businesses. At the time, we were trying to keep, apprised of who was choosing to stay open during that time. Because for a lot of business owners, their employees couldn't handle a holiday without wages. Mm-hmm. And that was a real problem for people. So there were a lot of businesses that did not comply with that. We were trying to stay apprised of that and make sure that we were doing our part to support local businesses during that time. And you, Melissa, were a huge asset to us because you were going the extra mile and helping us find that out on the backside. And that was when we first started compiling what became known as the businesses list.
Mm-hmm. And now it's Melissa's list.
And yeah.
This is like one of the sacred shrines of Reopen Bucks.
Yes.
It feels like people still go in there and use it
one
all the time.
One of our crown jewels. Yes.
I know, which is nice to see that people do still reference it.
Right.
Because there are a lot of good businesses on there that deserve to have us continue to return,
and it's
even once things are open.
It's been so long that we've been running that list that you have a lot of people now who want to be on the list. And it's hard when you know someone's, you know, really good, patriotic, they were on this side the whole time, but you have to kind of, you know, keep it a picture of what we went through and the businesses we knew and interacted with at the time.
Right.
So it is kind of a snapshot of
that first year or so in the two shutdowns that Bucks County went through.
Right. We stopped adding to it, I'd say, in May or June of 2021 when things really were reopened and masks were optional for everyone at that point. I think it was important to keep it that way because we're not able to verify necessarily if a business was good in September 2020.
And it's huge. We're talking hundreds of businesses that we stuff.
And there's, very cool. You know, we want to memorialize it as it is because it's important that we remember and prioritize making sure that we are having some loyalty and making sure that, you know, when we're looking for something and we don't, you know, I need this business in this category, I go back and check the list and see, you know, okay, who was there for us when we really needed them and try to make sure that we're prioritizing those businesses still. And I think a lot of members do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree.
So moving over to Randy, I want to ask you the same question, but can lead with a really great story of the first spot where I noticed you. I maybe the same for Keir. I had middle of summer of 2020 gone into, this is right after the playground brigades and we moved through red, yellow, green phases. Yeah, we all remember that stupid color chart.
That's right.
So we're moving through the color phases and the library is finally going to open. And I went down to the Perkasie Library just to check it out and see. I was most curious what they had done with like the kids areas and how story time was going to work and all that stuff. Had no idea it was going to be as bad as it was, so I just went to check it out. And of course, like everything else, I went in without a mask. I was summarily thrown out for that reason. Cops were called. So just sort of like I was on live to show people what it looked like inside the library at the time. And after that, I remember like, okay, I left. It was the next day, was it, Randy?
Yep.
You go in and do the same exact thing. So I just remember thinking at the time, like, okay, that's really cool.
Yeah, well, before I was an admin, basically the main way I was fighting back was with masks. And the mask mandate went along with the shutdown, which I hated. So that was the way I was fighting back. And the day when you went to the library and had the police called, the library is close to where I live. So I just decided the next day that I was going to go. Even though like I live near there, I never go there. But I wasn't thinking that I would be able to out talk the cops and not be forced to leave. But what I was hoping was that more people would keep doing the same thing and eventually they would just get tired of showing up. I don't think that happened.
Well, it makes me sad because I think a big reason we did this whole thing, at least for Curie and I on a very personal level, is the libraries were taken away. That was like one of our main things for our kids at the time. And it is a little bit sad to think back that so much had happened over 2 years of Reopen Bucks that we never really got to the libraries.
Yeah.
Like we kind of allowed them to go on their own timeline, which they only got back to normal doing story times for kids and having all the kids stuff back and allowing people in without masks, like literally a few weeks ago.
Very recently.
So I do wish we maybe like mounted a big campaign against them.
Well, I've since learned just recently, as some other issues have cropped up with the library that have led to some changes in their own governance based on how they've been running themselves, and not adhering to some of the laws that they are covered by in Sunshine. So recently have become, you know, a little bit more plugged into what's been going on at the library. And I've learned that at that very same branch of the Perkasie Library, many people evidently had the police called on them over, you know, many months. And
like that we didn't know about.
I was told that, you know, at some points there were employees of that specific branch of the library who felt so strongly about, you know, making sure that they were keeping anyone out who was in any way unmasked that, you know, they were having conversations trying to judge the age of toddlers who were coming in and pointing
that
out.
That is next level.
And I don't think it's universal because I do think that there are people who are not comfortable with that sort of behavior, but some, you know, those conversations were had and, you know, they're pointing out little children and saying, oh, how old is he? Is he 18 months or is he two? And do we need to get a mask on that toddler? It's
unreal.
It's farcical.
That human could have that
right
belief system.
It is. So, yeah. I mean, that was kind of a good barometer for where we were at as a county.
Right.
I think that that infrastructure of the library that should be reflecting how the county is run, because it's dictated by our county commissioners appoint right, the board appoint. For the library, and the board for library, you know, sets its own policies. So
now, I mean, a lot of different interesting stories and backgrounds here of each admin. Once we get together, you know, each of you were kind of asked in different ways to join the team. First of all, when you're asked, was there ever any doubt and
why
wondering?
Why did you say yes?
Like now on this side of it, you might be sitting there like, what did I get myself into? But again, maybe we start with Tina. You know, when we wanted you to come onto the team, what was your initial reaction?
Complete shock, actually. When I got a message from you, and I was like, what? And then my next thought was, I know that requires a lot of work. Do I have the time to put into it? Like, I know that I want to help. Do I have the time dedicated to it? But I was really, I think I even said back to you, I am really honored to be asked. Mm-hmm. And I was actually feeling like I wanted to make sure that I held up the honor of being asked to do that, because I felt like it was a lot of faith put in me because of you asking. And it was something I really appreciated and was flattered and humbled to be able to do.
And having decided, okay, I think I can make the time for it, how do you look back on it now? Oh, well, so now is a little bit weird, because I should just say for everyone, the group has been very quiet now that we're in spring. Life has gone back to normal these last couple of months. So as it should, the group is kind of quieting down. The admin job has become much easier these last couple of months. But, you know, when we went through, like, for example, August and fall of 2021, when it was just really crazy, we were always making big decisions, lots of work throughout the day. Do you think that your assessment of how much work was going to be required was accurate?
No, I think I was very, very, very underestimating the amount of time and effort, but I willingly did it. Like, I am really thankful for all of that experience. I know when I first started, the very first week, I was actually going away on vacation, and you guys are, oh, that's okay, you can just catch up when you come back. But I was like, no. I have the time while I'm on vacation. Let me get my feet wet this way. And I can remember, like, getting up first thing in the morning, nobody's awake in the house, and I would go sit down on my sister's porch in Nashville and just, like, go through everything and just, and I was, because the school board stuff was starting to happen.
Right.
It was, like, really rolling then. Yeah. And I knew how important it was because, you know, we're in CB, so there was a lot going on in CB.
Yes.
So I wanted to remain plugged in, but the amount of work that it was involved was, I was very, very, very underestimating the amount of work that went on. But again, gladly put my time and rolled up my sleeves.
We're very
for
glad
this.
You underestimated and decided to do it.
Didn't scare you away. I think right after you joined was probably the peak throughout all of this, of the peak of the amount of work that it was going to take. We didn't really foresee that, but thank goodness we asked you when we did. And we went on to have a new baby shortly thereafter. So you
yes,
guys
you did.
Really carried a lot of the weight of running the group, truly. I don't know that members have always realized that the amount of work that you guys have put in. I think a lot of times, you know, when they comment positively on the group, they'll say, oh, well, Josh and Carrie, blah, blah, blah. And they sort of see us more as visual symbols based on having watched us do live videos and things like that. And we've always tried to make sure as much as we can that they know you need to respect these people, because they have put so much into this project. It is a 24/7 commitment.
And I want to get into, like, how that works. You know, how do we operate as a team? How do decisions get made? The rules? I mean, we'll get into the how the sausage is made of being on the admin team, I guess, maybe as soon as we finish these questions, because I feel like that's just a whole interesting thing that a lot of people don't really know. We regularly run into problems where a group member might not know the rules exactly. And
right. Or they don't like them if they do know them.
That's true.
So Melissa, with you, interestingly, you came onto the team at a time when, you know, there's been a transition during your tenure on the team, where you joined basically during what I would call, like, the first iteration of the admin team, stayed with ever since, and now we have, like, this current crew, which maybe we can call the second iteration of the admin team. So it's been so long, you've been on the team, it's almost hard to think back and remember. But, you know, when we came to you and offered a spot and asked you to come in and help us, what's going through your mind?
I was surprised at first because I had been helping with, you know, events when I could, and helping you with the business list with information. But I was surprised. I think it was January 2021, actually. Maybe January 1st.
Yeah, I
like
think
right
so.
At the beginning mm-hmm. of the year.
Happy New Year. Welcome. Come help us.
I wasn't drinking New Year's Eve, so it wasn't like I was hungover and didn't know what I was saying. I was honored, you know, to be asked because I know it is a lot of work. And I know that, you know, there had been other admins who had put in a lot of time, and for various reasons, you know, they move on at different points. But yeah, I don't regret saying yes. I mean, it has been a lot of work.
There are days.
There are days. but no, overall, it's been great to be part of the team and to help. It's nice to have been able to, you know, help the businesses, help members find what they need.
It's been much appreciated for sure, and made a big difference. I mean, jumping in, I hope all of you, and the previous admins, everybody who jumped in and contributed, mm-hmm. this group has done a lot, and it's been because of just people, like we talked about at the beginning with the volunteering. I mean, it really takes a village to do a lot of what ReopenBucks has been able to do. So hopefully it's known how much it's appreciated, mm-hmm. what you guys have sacrificed to do this, be on the team and do all this work. So, and Randy, I mean, you same kind of thing. You came on there in spring of 2021. That was, it feels to me like that might have been when we were approaching the first lull in this. You know, vaccines had started to roll out. So, you know, the COVID hysteria crowd was getting a little bit calmer because they had their vaccines, whatever. It would just be a couple months later when some school districts would even start going optional. And so we kind of approached this like valley of happiness maybe before things would get crazy again. But just given that time frame when we came and asked you, what was on your mind?
I don't think I was as surprised as the other admins said they were. It wasn't long after we had that outing at the grocery outlet in Warrington, I think it was.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. That was a hard one.
Yeah.
That was a hard one.
Nice.
Yeah, but when you asked me, I think I, before I said yes, like I asked you about, like if I would be expected to do like a certain amount of work each day or
I do remember
like
that with you were very like analytical.
He's
about
like, give
the
it
decision.
To me straight.
Lots of questions.
That's great.
Yeah, basically you said like there wasn't going to be like specific expectations. I just do as much as I could do. And with that answer, I figure why not?
Yeah. And my memory of when Randy first joined the team, I was like blown away because Randy, we gave, you know, a lot of information initially to try to get, you know, whenever someone joins, we try to give the full, all right, here's the spiel, here's the rules, here's how we apply them, and just kind of a run through on the logistical responsibilities of running the group. And I couldn't believe how fast Randy absorbed it all. And for the first time in what felt like ages before that, there were never any pending posts for me. I would go in and I'm like, what's happening? But then there'd be on the page. I'm like, Randy's doing it all. So
you look in the log and you can just see Randy.
Yeah,
Randy
was a machine.
Doing work. Yeah. And that's a really good segue into what it is that we do. Like that office space, like, what do you do here?
We've all said it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of commitment. So what is it actually
I guess the first big picture to paint is we all have to be a strong coordinated team and on the same page with decisions. Mm-hmm. So we maintain a chat, and the chat is in some ways a huge amount of work and responsibility itself, because you pay attention, you respond. We're talking almost all day, every day, with very few exceptions about stuff. So we got this chat going on. I don't even know where to start with like the actual workload, because you'd have to go through the rules of the group,
right?
Which is a slog. But
so a lot of what we do, just in terms of when I'm thinking about like, okay, I need to check in on the group. It's been a few hours. I've been busy with whatever I'm doing, and you know, check back in and make sure nothing's blown up while I'm not paying attention. It's usually checking to make sure if people have submitted pending posts for us to review and either approve or decline. And then, you know, when there are posts that qualify for being approved, that's pretty easy. We can usually pick those out and recognize them right away. What I tend to be, you know, more analytical about is when there's a post that I'm like, okay, this probably isn't right for our group. It's not a good fit. And there are several ways, because of the way that we have our rules set up, that we're able to utilize them so that we can send feedback to the member so they understand why we didn't approve their post or what they could do to change it. And I'd say a lot of the posts that we don't approve in the group, it's because they're not on the topic of reopening. So we will, you know, very often send a post back to the person who submitted it, the member, saying, you know, you're welcome to edit your post and figure out a way to tie in what you were saying, so that it is on topic for reopening, because we try not to, we try very hard not to let our group become a general community group or a general political group. And right now, as campaign season is ramping up, that's why it's on my mind, you know, it's 10,000 very aware and committed Bucks Countyans, so I can understand why people on different political campaigns really want that stuff to be seen. We only allow it when it's on topic. So that is probably the most common reason why we don't approve a post. So once we go through that system, the other primary responsibility, other than moderating comments, is allowing members into the group who want to join.
And that has really evolved over the years to where it feels to me like getting into Reopen Bucks is kind of like getting into Fort Knox.
It's definitely got harder. You all say,
again, you go through this experience. You all talked about the amount of work it takes. Like, we've all become very protective, I would say, of this
Absolutely.
Little community. And you don't want to let people in who are going to cause trouble for people, for business owners, or for anything else that's going on. So the degree to which that takes time has just really ramped up, because, well, each person who applies, we got some detectives on the admin team over here. I'm right. Looking across the table like,
yes.
Yeah, we'll do our research on
good.
People.
Yeah.
And it's a good example of, you know, people might not think if you let in, you know, five people in a day, well, that's not that much work. You're just looking at five people's accounts. But maybe for two of them, you know, they have a mutual friend. We go ask the mutual friend what they think. We look at other things, other groups that they're in, look at their interaction there. Like, these things really add up. And that's just one part of the job. Mm-hmm. So it really adds up kind of quick.
And the way that we have it set up for people to join the group, there are membership questions that we ask them to answer. And they're pretty simple questions, but I think they're open. We never have edited them. I think since we set them, we've kept them the same. And there's been times where I'm like, should we change that? But I think they were a good balance, because they're open-ended enough that you can kind of get a feel for why someone's showing up. Are they just there because they want to gossip and, you know, peek in? Or are they interested in the things that the group has to offer? And would they be a positive contribution to the group? So, you know, that's typically how we start assessing a membership request is, what'd you say? If you didn't even answer the questions, then there's a very high likelihood we're not even going to consider admitting someone. And then from there, it's like, okay, you answered the questions. Are you being genuine with your answers? Or was this kind of disingenuous because you want to come in and screenshot things and mock us on the internet somewhere?
Right.
So that's kind of what goes into my thought process, trying to determine if someone has good intentions for coming into the group.
Now, mm-hmm. about these rules, and you know, Kiri talked all about the on-topic rule. I would say that's probably the most common rule that we use.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, I'm curious to hear from you on just in general about the rules. You came on at a time when I don't think we really had firmed up the mentality that we do now around, we're going to moderate this group, so it's going to be run like a tight ship. There's going to be firm rules. We may have had rules in place, but they've evolved a lot over time to get mm-hmm. us into a better and better position. So what has your observation been like of the rules? Do you feel like it's something that helps you as an admin to moderate the group, or have they been cumbersome?
The rules are helpful as long as the members see the reason for the decline. In the early on,
that was
members
problem,
were stating
yeah.
they couldn't see the reason. And now still some don't read the message to know why it was declined. But I think it's helpful. A lot of times when we've declined for not on topic, they'll come back a few minutes later with an edited version, and they'll have tied it in somehow to reopen.
That's the best. I always
yeah.
appreciate those.
Cause I think that's helpful.
Every once in a while, what you'll get is you decline it for off topic, and then the person DMs you and they're upset or something. And,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we've all probably had those right. kinds of experiences.
But we wanted to keep the page on topic. I mean,
right.
not, if it wasn't related to reopening, you know, vaccine mandates and masks and things like that, you know, anything that kept businesses closed, it was off topic.
And we've become pretty liberal with the application of that rule. Like, you can have a pretty long post that's about other stuff, but like you said, just edit it, include a tie-in, just make it about this issue, and then generally we'll let them through.
I think that's prevented us from getting distracted by other issues or getting swept up in other movements. We've been able to, through that rule, really keep the group focused on why we're there, you know, and not get too sidetracked.
And then there are other times that we like something that someone's sharing, like, but it's a link to a site that we know could flag the group and it'd be a violation.
Right.
That so we had to be very careful with that as well.
Yeah. Right.
Major defining feature of this current iteration of the admin team is we went together through, in fall of 2020, we started being affected by Facebook in a way we never had been before, where they actually started to show us the metrics on the back end about how they were limiting the group for different things. Mm-hmm. And one of those was if an admin approved something that was eventually then marked as a community standards violation, the group would get dinged. And we're talking about, you know, we're not talking about people posting very mean or offensive things. We're talking about like an article that slightly disparages Fauci.
And then
that would be community standards. Oh my gosh.
Right. Or so, we have had instances where a member has had a comment removed by Facebook before any of us could possibly have ever read it because they used a word in a way, in a different way than how it was intended. I know that I see this actually. I know Tina's like really into a lot of the kind of groups that I'm into, cooking and things like that. So I've seen in those groups that actually happens
the
with
word fat is really a problem.
FAT. If you're talking about cooking and animal, you know, animal fat, lard, they have to use substitute words for that now because it hits a Facebook metric for hate speech, and they will immediately start getting their group docked. And so that's a good example. We've had that experience with the expression bitch and moan. We've had people say that, like, oh, let's not bitch and moan. And Facebook has taken down, in some instances, that comment when it's not intended to call someone a name. Right. It is, you know,
it's
talking about...
It's worth calling out that a lot of what we've done with the rules and trying to run the tight ship, it fundamentally, it's about protecting the community and the platform and the group. It's about... you know, wanting to make sure people aren't getting their accounts suspended when it's very obvious that'll happen. But then also just making sure the group is in people's feeds. We need to be effective to be able to impart change. So a lot of it is sometimes it can be very frustrating to people because they're just seeing that their stuff is being removed or declined. And they think we like want to limit their free speech or whatever.
Right.
A common message you'll get about.
But we were worried about the group being taken offline too. And then we would have no group. So limiting some posts helped us overall.
So that's an interesting thing you bring up. There was a day there, right? One day
October
when the group
8th,
was suddenly...
October 8th.
Were you guys all like, poof. Praise Jesus?
No, we
job
were all
is
panicking.
Done.
We were mad, I
we
think.
Were mad.
I remember the moment I saw it came back online, though. I couldn't believe it. Because I remember where I was and everything at the moment.
For context, for anyone who's not aware, I think it was October 5th or 6th or something like that. Of this past year, where one day the group just disappeared from the platform. It was not in, you know, it wasn't like we got 10 violations or something and they're like, all right, fine.
Yeah, there was no
last
warning,
strike.
Nothing. And this is after months of being, we were so strict with even allowing posts that had a link to something that would be relatively questionable.
Right. Our violations had just cleared, if I remember, at the beginning of October.
We were
remember?
Being extremely careful. And so we... there's not really a way on the platform to submit any sort of like ticket to say, hey, Facebook, what the heck happened to my group of 10,000 people? Where are they? So we had made a post. I put up a graphic that was like, hey, friends of Reopen Bucks, we don't know what happened. We didn't do that because people were, I started seeing people who were in the group who I'm friends with on Facebook making posts saying, did the admins get rid of the group? What happened?
Surprise.
Like, no, it wasn't us. We don't know what happened. But, you know, this will be a blessing in disguise. We'll take it for what it is. We'll regroup. We'll do something else. And it ended up being moot because within a day, poof, it's back.
It's just back.
No explanation whatsoever from Facebook.
There were three or four Reopen groups all across the country. One was California, one was Michigan, and we were one. It's had the same exact thing happen. And I think they came back on different times, but it's like the groups were closed at exactly the same time.
Right.
So I think it was an algorithm glitch of Facebook to cut them all at the same time. but then they would all come back over the next few days.
Right.
So that was a weird one. Yeah. Now that leads into, though, I mean, group's gone. I think we've struggled with, as an admin team, we've struggled with the concept from the beginning of, like, what's the finish line of Reopen Bucks? And now I hope this is the case. Tell me if I'm wrong, guys, but we're all on the same page about, look, May 6th, it marks 2 years since this group was started. We're in a really good spot right now, it feels like, in Bucks County. Life has returned to normal. People have choice. You're still going to have remnants of COVID and response to COVID out there, but things are much better. So we're going to move the group into whatever comes next, some form of hiatus. I love what you said earlier today. Was it extended vacation?
Yeah, an extended vacation.
We're going on extended vacation. We'll see what happens. I know. But
the volunteer job pays so well.
All that dark money.
So what do you guys, first of all, how does that feel? I mean, there's going to be a time here pretty soon when you wake up and don't immediately look to see what's in the queue for Reopen Bucks.
It's just going to be weird.
Do other things. Maybe we'll start with Randy.
I guess it'll be relaxing.
Very relaxing.
I mean, lately there hasn't been much work to do anyway. There's been a lot fewer posts and, like, member requests. I think because things have died down so much. But it'll probably be nice, like, not having to think about, like, oh, I should go check and see if there's anything to approve.
I'm definitely, like, I'm just looking forward to relaxing, feeling like, yeah, I mean, you said it so well. It's, you have to carry the burden, even when there's not a lot going on, of, it's like a responsibility to the group to try to do the best you can for this group, this community. And being able to kind of park that and just, so it's going to be like a vacation day. It's going to be like those days, like Easter and Christmas, when we take off from the group.
Right, so that's, archive the group for the day.
That's a good thing to cover. That's something we've made a habit. We didn't always do that from day one, but I think within the first year, we realized, like, okay, for holidays, I mean, this is really not conducive to, you know, really enjoying our day with our families. So let's make sure, at a minimum, on the day of a holiday, we will take the day. We will archive the group temporarily and let everybody know we're doing that, so no one is panicked. Mm-hmm. But and then come back the next morning so that we really truly can unplug. For me, before starting Reopen Bucks, I had taken maybe a 6-week break totally from social media, which is the first time that I ever did that. And then came back to see what was up with this Reopen stuff with Reopen PA, and that's when I eventually created the group itself. And since then, haven't had that opportunity again. We took a brief break over Christmas this year, and that was really good. Just, you know, brain break.
That was our
break.
Longest break, right? Maybe 10 days we had the group down. What are you guys all planning to do then? I mean, May and into the summer, going to stay on Facebook, keep doing, because all of you are influential in some way, like on just posting on your own page and with your friends and everything. That's kind of another feature about Reopen Bucks is, I'd say, a lot of the more active members too. Everybody's in so many groups and participating in different ways that there's a lot of activity. So do you guys think that you'll continue to do that, or are you looking at maybe a social media break when this all is over?
I am probably going to take a little break. Summertime is gardening time, and that is what I am going to be doing. Lots of time in the garden, a little time at the beach, and you know, I'll still keep my eyes and ears open for things going on, because I really feel like we've got so much more that's going to be happening coming down the line. But in the meantime, I'm going to refresh.
Yeah.
Hit the refresh button.
That's perfect.
It's my impression that most of the group feels that way, that you do, that, and they've been very resistant when we bring up, you know, our plans to put the group on hiatus or take a pause, because they are worried about what the fall will bring, because, I mean, that's informed by 2 years of that happening.
Right.
Last fall and the one before.
Right. And you know what? Right. I was initially in that same boat. I was initially going, no, we can't go anywhere. This is, no. Do you remember standing in my garage asking me, oh, do you think this is going to wind up in the fall? And then, like, things just exploded.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of feel like, you know, we all have a little PTSD, and it's probably, but it'll be nice to take that little break, prepare,
Prepare.
Prepare. Like and if we don't need it, we don't need it.
Yeah.
That's even better.
Yeah.
This is why it's extended vacation.
That's exactly. Right.
We may be needed.
Extended how long? We don't know.
So we spent a good amount of time just kind of talking through the roles and responsibilities and how it works, what we do on the back end that makes it such a, it's been kind of a demanding job at some points. I want to hear from each of you. What do you think has been the hardest or the most challenging part about your time as an admin of Reopen Bucks? Maybe we'll start with Melissa.
Melissa's had it the roughest.
Spotlight. She's been the longest.
The hardest part? I guess the hardest part would be just, you know, just trying to make everyone happy and try to explain to people why their posts were declined or, you know, everyone, there's, you know, people who, you know, will eventually complain about something. And trying to bite your tongue sometimes on how you want to reply.
That's tough. That is a
that's
challenge.
That's tough.
Yes.
And we get it that people, keeping... it's because they care, they're trying to contribute. So you never want to like call somebody's baby ugly. But
right.
Again, we care very deeply about this group and this community. And it's with that care that we're sometimes, you have to have those hard conversations. That's right. Never comfortable.
And even if it's not to me personally, just there's sometimes there's arguments with other members with each other. That doesn't have anything to do with any of us as admins, but just back and forth bickering.
And that's what I was about to say when the piece about biting your tongue. I feel like that's something that this iteration of the team has done very well in avoiding getting into back and forth with members, especially on the page. But in the off chance that we do see a member who's kind of like clapping back at one of the admins or just not being civil, I feel like this team has been very quick to be like, oh, no, you are not going to do that to my friend.
Right, absolutely.
And just making sure that we have each other's back in that and that we're all being respectful of each other and the sacrifices that we make and making sure that members stay cognizant of that when they are interacting with the admins and, you know, making sure that they are not abusing our admin team.
Right. We have a lot of great members. Some very passionate members as well. So sometimes you just have to bring it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. De-escalate.
There have been some really supercharged times when there's a lot of hot conversation going on. We're kind of entering that with a lot of these political posts about the primary that's coming up.
Right.
People care very deeply. I think that's why they're in a group like ours. We got a lot of the people who are the take action type of people.
Definitely.
Right, because I think COVID has really brought to the attention of people that local elections really do matter. Mm-hmm. And people are paying more attention to school board, every position locally.
Yeah.
Makes a difference.
Right.
Randy, what do you think has been the hardest part of your job on the team?
I would say when there's like borderline decisions to be made, for instance, a pending post or it could be like a comment that we're debating removing or a member that we're thinking about removing. Whenever it's something that's borderline and we have to decide, like, is this bad enough or should we approve this or whatever? That's one of the hardest things. Another thing I would also say, it's enjoyable for me to use like logic and try to reason through things. But whenever we've had like internal discussions about the direction of the group, when, like, for instance, when the group was shut down and then we launched the alternative group, but then we came back, so we had two groups and we weren't sure what we were gonna do. Like reasoning through that was kind of difficult. I think probably a lot of members don't realize, like, we discuss shutting down the group multiple times
for about a year.
And like weighing like the pros and cons, like it can be difficult just to reason through all that, but it's a good type of difficult. Like,
yeah,
I enjoy
it's felt like working out or flexing a muscle because it's
yep.
Again, I go back to, we all really, really care about this. This has been so obviously with all the time we've all put in, we really care about it. So when you have those really tough decisions ahead of you, we take our time, we try to get it right. I don't feel like there's been anything, you know, with this team that we've rushed into and made some big mistake. It's a lot of, like you said, logic, reasoning, let's talk this out. And sometimes those decisions are days or even weeks in the making. So that does get heavy when you're kind of burying stuff like that that maybe other people won't see, because they'll only see us announce, okay, hey, everybody, we're doing this thing. And it seems like a small thing, but we've really put a lot of thought into that and time discussing all the different variables. Mm-hmm. We've taken it very seriously, basically.
A lot of deliberation. Maybe too seriously. A lot of deliberation goes into like the choices we make in terms of announcements we've made and the group direction of the group, like Randy said. And I think sometimes to members, it can just feel like it just happens. You know, they don't really realize that it's an ongoing discussion, and we want to be respectful of the entire team and how we all feel, and make sure that our choices reflect, you know, the consensus of the entire team.
Mm-hmm. Tina, what do you think has been the hardest part of being an admin?
Normally, I would say the hours, because we don't sleep. But it's good, because I think we're all on that same page. Like, we're all pretty good about it. And it was shocking to me when I first joined the admin team, because I don't require a lot of sleep. I've always been like that. But to see that you guys were all the same way, and you were pregnant, and you were getting ready to have this baby, and you were still up all night and up in the morning, and then she's got these little ones, and, you know, you're doing hockey, and then it was just really, it was mind-boggling. But yeah, people really don't understand. It really is a 24/7 job. Mm-hmm. And having that responsibility, I took that very seriously, and I wanted to make sure that, you know, even if I missed, like, you know, a couple of hours because I'm working or whatever, that I really did go back and read what we were going through. And I mean, there were some times where I know you were ready to, like, let's put the lid on this. We're lidding it. And I was very passionate about, I don't think we're ready for that yet. And it was nice that you were able to take some time away, and, you know, all of us work together and fill that gap while you were refueling yourself. So I think for me, that was the hardest part, because I knew how important this was to you and to all of us and to our community. And to sit back and wait for you to come back around to that.
And that, for anyone listening, I mean, you're talking about a time when, was this like around holidays?
Right on the holidays, yeah.
That just, I mean, everything that's been going on this fall was a total pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. And I had a point where I cracked. Like, I think everybody's been through that point where you're just like, all right, I need to set this stuff down. And for me, that looked like, okay, I need to step away for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Kiri had mentioned that there had been points where, you know, if we can't be around for a decision, you guys, the previous admin team, like, people involved in this effort have been so good at just taking charge, autonomously deciding, look, what's best for Reopen Box, not me, not the person I'm deciding this on, what's best for the movement. And that, what you're describing, clutch moment when decision needed to get made to keep the wheels on the bus going round and round, and we did it and got through it.
You're looking at me. You want to know what I think was the hardest? So the hardest thing for me throughout this experience hasn't really had to do with running the group itself. It's how people outside of the group have at times mischaracterized, and because they are not in, and they don't, or if they have, you know, people who are in or whatever, they're not in good faith, and they're not trying to actually take things for the way that they're meant and all of that. So to see that happening elsewhere from all of the people who are in other groups and send me things and want to make sure that I'm aware that, you know, this person said this, and this, is this true? And this is how that's getting twisted. Look at a screenshot. That's against the rules. Making sure that I'm aware, while I appreciate all of that, it's very heavy to know that there are groups of people who have only formed in response to us. You know, it seems like for some of them, their motivating principle and the thing that unites their group is just being an anti-us. And it's not even an anti-our ideas. It's just sometimes a reflexive, well, we don't want to be those people, so here we are to defeat those people. And that's actually a language that's used. So that element, and that has had times where it's come to a fever pitch, where every other day on these, what I would call parodies of, there's one on Facebook that's using a TV series to mock people. There were times where every day there's a post about Josh Hogan. And that's like heartbreaking to see that. That's really hard when that's the person that you care about. And And the person you've worked on the project with. So you not only know who they are as a person, but you also know how they are in this project. So for me personally, there were times, and when we had our baby, that was another time where it was very at a fever pitch as well. So it kind of compounded a time that was already difficult. So navigating all of that with the support of a team, invaluable. I mean, you can't get through times like that by yourself. You have to have a support system there for you, or it would just eat you alive.
Now, we're obviously, I think like anybody associated with Reopen Bucks is aware of that back and forth and the fact that there have been two sides to this and the, you know, oh, Josh Hogan is so bad, we're going to come up with all that. I mean, they're nothing if not consistent with that. Have you guys, though, this is something I don't feel like I've asked enough. Have you guys personally endured situations where you feel like you were either under attack or just even noticed for being a Reopen Bucks admin in any sort of negative way?
For me, not really, no. I can't think of any times. I think you two are the ones that stand out to everybody, mainly because like you started it and you do the lives.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like the face of the group.
Mm-hmm.
It tells me that we must be on the right track because, I mean, I know how we work and come to decisions and it's a good, solid team. Mm-hmm. So, okay, if that vitriol and whatever is going to be directed at me or at us, like, no skin off our back, we'll take it and the admin team will keep on chugging.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I agree with you. I would never want that feeling to be spread around to all of us. I don't think no one should experience it, but if anyone's going to experience it, bring it on. Bring it on. And what really gets me about those times where there have been times where it's heavy on me because I start thinking, you know, as a mom of babies and I don't want something horrible to happen to us. I don't want there to be unsafe situations because you just don't know who you're dealing with in this world. And I sometimes think that the things that people say on the internet can be reflective of their state of mind. And it makes me concerned for, you know, personal safety reasons at times. When it comes to just like the meanness and mockery and all of that, you are very good about letting it roll off your back and you don't get as upset. I get more, you know, on your behalf, I get kind of offended and things like that sometimes, but and as a team, you know, we know what the reality of these situations are and we know how silly it is. So, you know, it's kind of ultimately been no skin off our nose for people to do that to us. It's kind of just more reflective of who they are than of who we are. So I'm glad that that's not been the universal experience of a Reopen Bucks admin. I'd be so sad if it was.
No, and it's tough to talk through the challenges and the negative feelings that might come with it, but there's been a lot of good too. I hope. Yeah. Everyone could agree. We had done some stuff. We accomplished some stuff.
Can we do our favorite things? Yeah,
so that I think that's a great place to end it is, and maybe we'll all go around the horn and do it, all five of us.
Why don't you start?
Since the time you've been on the admin team, what has been your favorite? So for me, what has been the favorite is that I've continually heard the same thing from people over and over, almost since the start of the group, which is thanks so much for this community. Thanks for this group or this tribe. I found like-minded people. People would always say that. And it was always, and in some ways, almost hard to relate because I feel like Kiri and I, our marriage, we come to this with a mentality of objective-oriented. We're doing goals. We're doing tasks. A lot of that just goes to the structure of the group. Like, we're here to do something. So I would always expect people to come and say, thank you so much for accomplishing A or B or C or whatever. Talk about those things. But I just continually would hear over and over the same, hey, I love Reopen Bucks and what you've been able to do because this feels like my community. And that wasn't there before, especially as we talked about before, it was in a time when everybody felt alone. Like, am I crazy here for wanting to just live my life
normally?
So having that kind of repeated message over and over has given me just a massive appreciation for the fact that we were able to collectively, as a team, as a big group, build a community. How about you, Kiri?
My favorite thing. It's hard. There's so many favorite things. I feel like I always have to come back to the events that we put on, especially during 2020 and the beginning of 2021 when, you know, families weren't largely getting together in person, and there weren't a lot of outlets for children. So all of the things that at the time we were able to provide for kids, I think that always got me the most excited and, you know,
a mom of young
feeling
kids.
Energetic and makes sense. Anything that I could involve, you know, our kids with in events like that were always the most fun for me. Santa Claus was a really fun one because we had, you know, group members who were really gung-ho about that and actually dressed up for us. And like Tina mentioned earlier, Easter too, that year was really fun. I'm glad that we do not have to do that this year because it was a lot. And, you know, it's hard to have to be an Easter bunny and all of that. That's not something you want to be doing year after year if you don't have to. But it's just very nostalgic to me to think back to those things because they were just so innocent, you know, those things were grown out of people posting, hey, where can I take my kids to see a Santa Claus where it's not behind plexiglass, and realizing in 2020 there isn't one really. Let's just make our own. And so those things just felt very rewarding because you could have a moment there, you know, it's so all this busy planning and everything, but you could have a moment where you just see kids happy and it would just kind of recharge your batteries instantly to see that. So that'll always be my favorite.
And normal, happy, just normal. It's so refreshing and recharging whenever we would kind of recreate that environment and then get to live in it. And then you go back to the whole rest of your day and, you know, there's all this stuff going on everywhere.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was a great break from all of it.
How about you, Randy? Favorite memory?
Well, some of my favorite memories were the confrontations, like at the library or at the grocery outlet. But also like that picnic that we did, that was a good memory. Also, like just seeing the things we've accomplished, like with the schools. I think we've affected the political climate without any of us being politicians. Like Bucks, we're basically back to normal now, so that's one of my favorite things.
I call it the Florida of Pennsylvania. That's true. Right here in Bucks County.
That's a good description.
How about you, Tina?
I'd have to say, along with all the events for the kids were just, and finding your community, the way the school board things came out in the fall. And I don't know if a lot of people understand exactly how much work you put into that, getting the information and tracking all the districts and knowing where everybody stood and, you know, the information that you were gathering and that kind of thing. But it made such a difference. And, you know, rounding up people and getting them to go to board meetings. And even if you're not going to go speak, you know, go sit there and be a body, be a clapper, be something. I think that to me was something that was so effective in bringing normal back to our community for our kids, which then flows out into everything else. I think that to me is probably my most proud accomplishment.
Yeah. It seems to be kind of like the crown jewel is what I would say is this. I mean, there was a New York Times podcast called The School Board Wars, and that was about us in Little Bucks County.
Exactly.
It was very hot and heated and it made a big difference.
And there were some very tense board meetings.
Yeah.
Yes, there were.
And I love how you say it, that we were able to affect change just by mobilizing the grassroots and getting people into spots. I mean, so much effort, and it made a difference. You could see it from district to district.
Exactly.
A good one.
When I think back to that, I'm just very proud that that foray into, you know, making political endorsements that we never would have thought we'd be doing that. It's just so silly that was ever a thing. But to think about that, I mean, that was a really cool thing because that took a lot of work behind the scenes where we were actually, you were reaching out to candidates and saying, look, your platform sounds like it's consistent with what we believe in Reopen Bucks. Here's our tenants, Ian. And you got affirmative, you know, confirmation from people before you ever endorsed them. So there were some people who we maybe would have endorsed and we didn't because they were not comfortable with it or they didn't feel they needed the endorsement or what have you, but every person that we endorsed was someone who wanted to be endorsed by us, that was not just picking names out of a hat and saying, oh yeah, vote for this person. And it was all solely about the, you know, the principles that we're focused on in our group. So I think that was a really cool thing to, you know, I'm more of like the doubting Thomas when these big projects come. I'm like, how can we possibly do that? And then sometimes you just somehow you find a way to make it work. So that was definitely one of them for me. That was a really cool one to see. Mm-hmm. And then to see so many of those endorsed candidates win was right. Amazing.
And I love what I love about it is when you were talking about the events, you mentioned the innocence of putting on an Easter egg hunt for children and having a Santa Claus for children and the innocence associated with that. And when I look back on the school board stuff and specifically like endorsing people, I see the innocence of our group, just a grassroots community. I mean, the people who oppose us, they see a force that must be funded by dark money and blah, blah, and they're endorsing all these people. Oh my gosh, it's gotta be like dark clouds swirling. But that was just people talking and people who care. And like you said, Tina, going to school board meetings, putting in the work day after day, and we made such a big difference. Bucks County Schools, it was different here this past fall than anywhere else.
Yeah.
And that was because of little Reopen Bucks. Yeah. It's a cool part of the story for sure.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Melissa?
Bring it home.
My favorite? I agree with everyone here. I mean, it's hard to choose one single thing that was my favorite. I think the big thing was though meeting people who are like-minded, having a group, having events, whether it was a baseball game or Friendsgiving, the Santa Claus, everything like that. It was really hard to choose one thing that would be my favorite. I think joining as an admin would be up there on the list because I've gotten to know all of you a little bit better as well. And to be part of the team has been nice for the last, what,
500 days.
500 days.
Well, hopefully you all are proud. But it is hard to choose.
And the school boards, I mean, that's amazing. You know, I mean, I think that was a highlight.
I really hope as we approach our extended vacation, as we're going to call it, that you guys are really proud. I mean, I feel like you have so much to be proud of. Being on the inside of this team and knowing just how we operate and come to decisions and everything. We did a lot with a little crew, just working our tails off, trying to make a difference.
I feel like we were this little tiny boat in this giant sea and somehow managed to navigate through.
I'd be absolutely remiss to not just somewhat break the fourth wall and talk to the listener and say, I really hope, I know we all hope, that we've done a good job for you. That really at the end of the day, everything we've just talked about, what we were able to do, those don't happen without the community that we all built together, that we all participated in, that we all wanted to be a part of. And so this job of being on the admin team, it's heavy and there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it. We've laughed, we've cried, we've sweat, we've bled. But at the end of the day, it's hopefully we did what we were supposed to do and served you well when it was needed.
And I sort of hope by giving a peek into, you know, sort of how it runs and how it came to be, that people understand that they can do this sort of thing. There wasn't, you know, really any magic to it other than a lot of commitment and working to surround ourselves with good people who were also committed. But, you know, we had to learn as we went to do this. And I think, you know, in the future, I hope that when events and issues come up that people really care about, that they will approach it with a similar can-do attitude and feel like, you know, there's no limit on what I can accomplish if I just start to speak my mind and try to reach people who feel the way I do. I think that model can absolutely be replicated, you know, and even better than what we were able to accomplish too.
It's a good story at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you all so much for this, not only what you contributed here in this conversation, but all the time that you put into the team and the movement. This has been awesome. So we'll see if we're back to five people in a chat directing the group this fall. We're going to find out. fingers crossed.
Everyone's crossing fingers.
All right.
Thank you all.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Catch up with you later.